after the break with a little bit of Night Court. All right, I'm Tamara Cherry filling in for Evan Bray. As the hush money trial of Donald Trump unfolded in recent weeks, there were a lot of names and witnesses that got a lot of attention. The former president, Donald Trump, for one, Stormy Daniels, Michael Cohen, Karen McDougal, David Pecker. The list was long and salacious, but I could not help but think about the people sitting in that courtroom whose names we do not know. The jurors, the people who were tasked with deciding not just whether a former president was guilty of a federal crime, but a former president with a dedicated league of supporters, some of whom waged a bloody assault on the Capitol just a few years ago when they did not get what they wanted. Many who have spoken out publicly against Donald Trump by way of bringing charges against him or trying to, say, block his run in the current presidential race have felt the wrath of these supporters, have received threats against their lives, against their families' lives. And I couldn't help but think that those jurors who were sitting there having to decide the fate of Donald Trump felt the weight of that on their shoulders. So we don't know what their names are, but in the United States, they are allowed to speak publicly. I don't think that has happened yet, but it's all got me thinking about jurors up here in Canada. And that brings us to our next guest, who is a Toronto-based lawyer who has a lot to say on this topic. His name is Alan Rubin. And Alan, first, welcome to the Evan Bray Show. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you very much, Tamara, and thanks for having me.
So in thanking the Trump jury for their service, Judge Juan Merchan called their job, quote, a stressful and difficult task. Would those same words apply to jurors up here in Canada, would you say, on these high-profile cases?
Absolutely. Being a juror is a very difficult task. You take on the responsibility of deciding someone's fate, their liberty. In civil cases, you're dealing with some very important matters as well. And you are essentially the representative of the public in dispensing justice in those particular cases.
Mm. I remember when I think about the issue of or the topic of jurors in the United States being allowed to speak to the media, which they're not allowed to do up here. And we'll get to that in a second. I can't help but think back to it was 2006 or 2007. I was actually working at the Toronto Star, and my then colleague, Robin Doolittle, was sent down to Chicago right at the end of the Conrad Black trial. And her mission was to go find one of the jurors. And she did. And it was, I think that there was even a whole story in the paper about how she managed to track this juror down. But she got this juror's story of what it was like sitting on this trial, what was happening, you know, in deliberations, how they came to the finding that they did. And I don't think that we've heard from any of the jurors in Trump's case yet, not that I have seen, but no doubt they are being hounded by the media. So why do you think, Alan Rubin, Toronto-based lawyer, why do you think it is that we have not heard from the jurors in the Trump case yet?
Well, whether a juror decides to speak to the media is strictly voluntary. They can have their names shielded, and they're told that if they don't want to speak to the media, they don't have to. I would be surprised if jurors would be hounded by the media. I don't think that would be looked on kindly by courts, but certainly they would be reached out to, and then it would be up to the individual jurors to decide if they wanted to communicate anything regarding their experiences. Of course, here in Canada, that's not permitted.
So let's tell me about that. Why is it that jurors here in Canada are not allowed to speak publicly?
Well, there's a specific prohibition in the Criminal Code, Section 649, and it makes it a criminal offense to, as it states in the section, to disclose any information relating to the proceedings of the jury when it was absent from the courtroom.
Mm.
So as a practical matter, that means that jurors are not permitted to talk about publicly anything that happened outside of the courtroom, you know, having to do with their deliberations, their thought process, why they came to a decision, the deliberations, and their communications with other jurors. It's a very sweeping prohibition, and you can see from the language of it, the proceedings of the jury, that's pretty broadly worded.
I'm speaking with Toronto lawyer Alan Rubin about jury duty here in Canada. And Alan, I wonder, like, do you know what is the history of that section of the criminal code? Because I know that part of the reason it's so harmful, I mean, we can talk about the open courts and trust in the court system in a minute, but part of the reason I know it's so harmful is because for a very long time, and I think this has changed thanks to the work of the Canadian Juries Commission, but correct me if I'm wrong, this even meant that jurors were not allowed to talk to a psychologist about the deliberations. And you think about the trauma that many jurors are exposed to and the PTSD that many of them suffer from. That's obviously a problem. But what is the point of that law?
It is. You're absolutely right. And it also precludes communications with researchers who are trying to study the way the jury system works. And the rationale behind it is, the thinking is that if jurors communicate with the media after a trial, that will somehow stop them from being open and frank in their discussions in the jury room. It's sort of like the thinking that jurors' names might be released against their will. You know,
couldn't a publication ban, though, easily prevent that?
Yes, and the point that I've made, because I think this prohibition is too sweeping, and I prefer the U.S. System in this regard. So, yes, I think there's ways to prevent that. And I also think that the fear that jury deliberations will be somehow less open and frank if someone can talk about it afterwards, I personally believe that's exaggerated. That doesn't seem to have been the case in the U.S. And you have, you know, over the years, you see jurors come out in public speaking about their jury deliberations after a trial, and they're interviewed by the media in a responsible manner. And the thing that struck me whenever I've seen that is just how thoughtful and careful jury members are, and how responsibly they take their duties. So in my mind, that speaks well for the justice system when we can see how the process actually worked.
I want to just take a break quickly here, Alan Rubin, because I think something else that, I mean, from my own observations, I don't think that most jurors would talk to the media, because especially in cases where they've experienced a lot of trauma, in my observations, trauma survivors generally don't want to talk to the media, but it's all about giving them that choice. Hold on to that thought for a minute. We're going to go for a quick break. I am Tamara Cherry filling in for Evan Bray, and my guest this half hour is Alan Rubin, who is a Toronto-based lawyer. You are listening to 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.
I break in the rocks in the hot sun. I fought the law and the law won. I fought the law and the law won.
All right, well, if you're just joining us, I'm Tamara Cherry filling in for Evan Bray, and I'm speaking with lawyer Alan Rubin about jury duty in this country. And maybe you've got some thoughts already on this conversation. You'd like to weigh in on it. We will be opening the phone lines shortly. You can also text us, of course, at 1-877-332-8255. This whole idea of whether jurors in Canada should be allowed to talk publicly about what happens in the deliberations room. you know, I think back to the trial of Gerald Stanley right here in Saskatchewan. That was a pretty controversial verdict. He was, of course, acquitted of second-degree murder and manslaughter in the shooting death of Colton Bushy, who is an Indigenous man, Gerald Stanley, a white man. Wouldn't it be great, you know, considering all the conversations that came up after that verdict came down about, you know, lack of representation on juries, about racism, about all of these things, wouldn't it have been great if we could hear from some of the jurors who had been sitting there during that trial and we would like to hope had given really thoughtful consideration to the evidence that was shared during that trial? Wouldn't it be great if somebody could have shared their story publicly about, listen, this is how we came to this verdict, and then judge it accordingly. So I'm speaking with Alan Rubin, who is a Toronto-based lawyer. And Alan, you were sharing with me over the break that, you know, you think that jurors should be able to share their stories publicly, but that your opinion, it's actually an outlying opinion. Most people don't feel this way. And why do you think that is?
Well, certainly within the justice system itself, there's a very strong belief that secrecy in the jury room should be preserved. The Supreme Court of Canada has written a decision on this subject in the context of a criminal case where there was some difficulties in the jury room and the extent to which that could be looked into. So I think the prevailing opinion, and I certainly don't want, you know, your listeners to get the impression that what I believe about this is widespread. I don't see any clamoring to change this legislation to open up the jury room and allow jurors to speak to the media.
I should point out, Alan, you don't need to worry about that. There are listeners. They don't often agree with what I have to say. They don't take things right at face value. But continue.
Yeah. So I do think that, you know, the belief that the jury deliberation should remain secret is a very strong belief within our justice system. But I think there are ways to address the rationale that has been put forward for jury secrecy and still permit jurors to communicate with the media if they wish to do so. And I think that the benefits of that outweigh the costs that could be associated with that if proper safeguards are put into place. And the benefits of it, in my mind, is to put some sunlight into the jury room with a view to allowing the public to better understand how a jury operates and how decisions are made. And I think that overall, that will have the benefit of enhancing public confidence in our justice system. That's my view of it.
You have been, Alan Rubin, Toronto-based lawyer, you have been vocal on this for many years. And before, I would argue, even we began seeing the divisiveness, that the polarization that exists today in Canada and the United States and many parts in the world, where on one side there is a very big distrust in the institutions that keep our society running: government, media, the criminal justice system. You know, we knew that with Donald Trump's trial, his hush money trial that just concluded, we knew that regardless of whether he was found guilty or not guilty, there would be people on either side saying the justice system didn't work. So do you see this as being more urgent, given the climate of polarization that we are living in now, to keep these basic tenets of democracy going in our society? Is it more important than ever that jurors should be allowed to speak out and discuss these things?
I think so. Our justice system is a hugely important part of our democracy, and public confidence in that is just fundamental to a healthy society. And, if you have half the public thinking that I'm talking here in the U.S. relating to this Trump trial, that, you know, that the whole system was corrupt, then that's not good. If the public hears from the jurors themselves and the way in which they reach their decision, I think it's likely that they would feel more confidence in the way the decision was reached. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean they would agree that the charges should have been brought in the first place, but at least, you know, they would have the comfort of knowing that a decision was reached in a thoughtful way without undue influence of one thing or another.
Right. All right, Alan Rubin, Toronto-based lawyer, I really appreciate this conversation. You've gotten me thinking about a lot because, I don't know exactly where I land on this, but you've certainly tugged me over to the side of seeing the value in the transparency part and just as a part of democracy. So coming up after the break, I want to turn the phone lines over to you. What do you think? Do we need to rethink whether jurors can share their stories of deliberations publicly? Would that give you more trust in our criminal justice system? Would our democracy be better off if we could hear from jurors and understand exactly how they got to that guilty or not guilty verdict? 1-877-332-8255. The phone lines are open. 1-877-332-8255. Talk or text. Big thanks to Alan Rubin. I'm Tamara Cherry in for Evan Bray on The Evan Bray Show here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. How is this for a throwback? On this day in history in 1975, how appropriate for the first day of summer, the film Jaws was premiered. The film Jaws was premiered. So, you know, maybe you're thinking about heading out to the beach. I know we don't need to worry about sharks in Saskatchewan water, but how appropriate. I wonder if it was the first day of summer when it was premiered back in June, back on June. What is it? June 20th, 1975. Also on this day in history, 1837, Victoria became the Queen of the United Kingdom. Isn't that something? And the German Parliament moves to Berlin in 1991. All right, there's a little history lesson for you. When we look back on history, 20 years from now, are we going to be thinking that we got it so wrong with not letting jurors speak publicly about how they came to their decision to convict or acquit someone in Canada? I'm turning the phone lines over to you at 1-877-332-8255. My question for you, should jurors in Canada be allowed to discuss their deliberations publicly? As it stands, as a reporter, as a crime reporter who worked in Canada for many years, I was allowed to, I could go and approach a juror after a decision came down, but that juror was and continues to be prohibited from talking to me about the conversations that happened around that deliberations table of how they came to that conviction of first degree murder or finding of not guilty of first degree murder or conviction of manslaughter. You know, I would really love to understand. There's a lot of cases that I would really love to understand the thinking of jurors, but what do you think? Should jurors in Canada be allowed to discuss their deliberations publicly? Give me a call, 1-877-332-8255. I certainly think it's time to revisit the issue, but maybe you think that they should be allowed to speak. And maybe you say, Tamara, we need transparency now more than ever. How can we trust that justice has been served unless we can find out how jurors came to their decision to convict or acquit? Or maybe you're thinking, you know, from the other side of the fence and thinking, Tamara, if jurors are allowed to share their stories publicly, how can we be sure that their decisions won't be swayed by the fact that anybody else in that jury room might be spilling the tea after the fact? You know, I think back to very recent history. Donald Trump, of course, his hush money trial in New York. This is the case that really got me thinking about this in terms of the pressure that those jurors would feel to perhaps acquit or convict based on the very polarizing views of people outside the courtroom. We have not heard from any of the jurors in the Donald Trump hush money case that found him guilty. But I am interested to hear. I would love to hear about the thoughtful discussion that went into coming to that, because there's so many knee-jerk reactions nowadays. We knew that regardless of whether Trump was found guilty or not guilty, there would be people who would be coming out and saying, this justice system does not work. You know, he should not have been found not guilty. He should have been found guilty. And without knowing how they came to that decision, it can be difficult to form opinions on this. So is it time for Canada to revisit this? I don't know if I can come to a firm opinion on this, but I do want to hear from you. Maybe you think we need the transparency. As I said, now more than ever, we are living in a very polarized society where I do think that our democracy is at stake, because there's a lot of people in Canada who have lost fundamental trust in our most fundamental systems, the media, the government, the criminal justice system. So what say you? Let's go to Jonathan in Saskatoon. Jonathan, what do you think? Should jurors in Canada be allowed to discuss deliberations?
Absolutely. You know, the one thing that will hurt democracy more than everything is a lack of transparency. Right?
Yes.
If we don't know how the decisions that are made are being made, how can you trust them?
Do you worry at all about people being reluctant, though, Jonathan, to, they don't sign up for jury duty, you're chosen for it, but maybe people are trying to get out of it more and more because they don't want to have to deal with the media knocking on their door after they acquit or convict whoever, whatever high profile figure is on trial. Does that worry you at all?
No, I think there's ways around that. You know, you can have jurors talked out of, you know, being contacted by the media. You know, like the courts will release, you know, the jurors that are willing to speak and the jurors that aren't. You know, the media doesn't know who they are.
Right. Well, I just wouldn't want to see any jurors dismissed because they don't want to speak to the media. But I'm going to end the call, Jonathan, but I'm still talking to you just because there's some background noise there. And I thank you for your call, Jonathan, in Saskatoon. You know, it's interesting because a lot of the work that I do in my day job when Evan Bray is not on vacation has to do with trauma survivors and the media and the whole idea of, you know, what the impact is on those who are forced to suffer on the public stage. Because if your child is murdered, you're going to have the media more often than not knocking on your door. And there's harm that can come from when they're not knocking on your door. And there's a lot of people who are pushed into the spotlight against their will, and they suffer there because of it. So I would hate to think of jurors not signing up for jury duty, or not signing up, but trying to get out of jury duty or being dismissed from jury duty because they don't want to deal with the media. Give me a call. What are your thoughts? Should jurors in Canada be allowed to discuss their jury deliberations publicly? 1-877-332-8255. I agree, actually, with our last caller from Saskatoon, Justin, who said that I think that there would be a way to deal with this. And I think, and this is something that I advocate for a lot for trauma survivors that I support in my day job. I think that, you know, just as we can easily have judges implement a publication ban on the identities of jurors, which we already have, we're not allowed to identify them. And just as, you know, south of the border, there is a publication ban on the identities of the jurors who convicted Donald Trump in his hush money trial recently in Manhattan. Even though they're allowed to speak publicly, there is a publication ban on their identities. Why not do that up here in Canada? You know, the jurors are allowed to speak publicly, but you cannot identify them. And maybe just as we put in those publication bans, maybe we also have a ruling that unless the juror has expressed through this criminal justice portal, whatever it is, this public portal, unless they've expressed that they are willing to talk to the media is not allowed to contact them. I don't know. I'm just throwing this out there. What do you think? I'm going to a break. If you are waiting on the line, just hold tight. I appreciate your patience, but keep your calls coming in. 1-877-332-8255. Should jurors in Canada be allowed to discuss their deliberations publicly. I'm Tamara Cherry, filling in for Evan Bray on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. The summer certainly looks good on Saskatchewan today. I love that sun shining. I would be so happy if summer was just like this, sun shining. I don't know how cold it is right now, but maybe 20 degrees, 23 degrees. I love it. I feel for all of our friends out in Eastern Ontario or Eastern Canada right now, though, who are suffering under the heat dome with like 40 degrees Humidex. All right. My question for you this half hour, and you can give me a call if you would like to weigh in, 1-877-332-8255. Should jurors in Canada be allowed to discuss their deliberations publicly? Maybe you're thinking, Tamara, yes, of course. We need transparency now more than ever. How can we trust justice has been served unless we can find out how jurors came to their decision to convict or acquit? Or maybe you're on the other side of the fence and you're thinking, Tamara, if jurors are allowed to share their stories publicly, how can we be sure that their decisions are not being swayed by the possibility of the media knocking at their door and asking them questions? So what say you? 1-877-332-8255. I'm heading to the phone lines now with Peter. Peter, you're calling from Moose Jaw. Should jurors in Canada be allowed to speak publicly about their deliberations?
Hi, Tamara. I absolutely agree that they should be able to. But I think, and I was telling your producer, that cancel culture and the way it works nowadays is I don't know whether people feel comfortable doing that. And look at it in the States here. With Donald Trump. Now, I'm no fan of Donald Trump, but I think the media had convicted him before he was even on trial. Hmm. And they were saying, and people like The View, the ladies on The View and the CNN, well, you have to be a moron not to think he's guilty. That was before the trial was even over, they were telling that. So how many of those jurors are going to feel comfortable saying, yeah, I didn't think Donald Trump was guilty? Because you know what? Everybody else thinks you're a moron if you come out and say that. So you are stifling opinions, but the media is really stifling opinions. And it scares people because people have jobs and they don't have families and they got stuff that's going on and they don't want that affected.
So Peter, on the flip side, though, you would think that, Donald Trump was tried by jurors from the very democratically leaning Manhattan area. And you would think then that if they were worried about what people are going to think about them, that they might be worried about all the Donald Trump supporters out there who might be wanting to send them death threats or any number of other things, you know, doxing them, putting their personal information online because they convicted him. So wouldn't there be an argument to be made that they would be more likely to find a not guilty verdict because they would be afraid of being outed publicly?
I don't know, Tamara. I think there's more of a volume of people on the left that really, really dislike the fact that there's some people with opinions they disagree with. And now if you disagree with them, you're uninformed if you disagree with them, but some people actually think you're evil.
I don't disagree with you, Peter, that I think that society, what we are really lacking is any space these days for thoughtful conversation, which is why I love opening up the phone lines and speaking with you folks all across the province, because I think thoughtful conversation is what we need. And I haven't landed anywhere firmly on this, but I do think that we need more transparency in our most fundamental institutions, including our criminal justice system. I'm going to go now to, there's some breaking news that Donald Sutherland, dead at 88. Wow. Is that ever somewhat? That is a Canadian giant who has deep roots, of course, in Saskatchewan. Maybe you have some thoughts on that you'd like to call in. You know, give us a call, 1-877-332-8255. Of course, I mean, when we think back to healthcare in this province, the Sutherlands, Tommy Douglas, all of that. There's so much in this province that is thanks to that lineage and this country. Indeed, I'm looking up at the TV screen right now again with news that actor Donald Sutherland is dead at 88 years old. My condolences certainly go out to his loved ones today. And maybe you want to weigh in on that. Or maybe you have some thoughts on jurors in this country not being allowed to speak publicly. Or maybe you've got thoughts about other things. You know, the phone lines were lighting up earlier today when it came to the issue of spending, because Canada is not reaching its spending targets. I mean, there's a lot of things going on in my mind right now. Seeing this news about Donald Sutherland, this is an actor who, I mean, what has he done? Let's go through. Look at this. There is, you know what? There's actually another Donald Sutherland in Saskatchewan who died some time ago. I just pulled up his obituaries thinking, how in the world did that happen so quickly? If I look at the text board right now, there is not a lot of people weighing in on the issue of jurors, but boy, oh boy, did we ever get a lot of texts on the defense issue. You know, we heard from John in Saskatoon saying, isn't it funny how up until, this is a climate change one. I'm not going to get into that. Garth from Saskatoon saying, I'm absolutely not okay with our defense spending. I think it should be higher than 2%. You know what? That's worth noting, because we often talk about Canada getting to the 2% that we promised NATO and our NATO allies we would get to 2% of our GDP. We made this promise like a decade ago, and we're still not anywhere close to there. So Garth from Saskatoon saying, I'm absolutely not okay with our defense spending. I think it should be higher than 2%. This world is not a Zen garden. The best way to ensure peace is to have a strong military as a deterrence. We need the best equipment and soldiers that are well paid. What we have now is a joke. Procurement is a joke. Get it done yesterday, says Garth from Saskatoon. And then including the fact that that includes a new naval fleet with nuclear subs, more fighter jets than the 65 they've ordered, and a modern, fully equipped army. Okay, I'm going to keep going through these text messages now because we've got a couple minutes left in the segment. Barry from Saskatoon texted in, I believe we need to spend more on our military. However, I feel that it could be value added within country purchases and in country training, etc. I agree. There's absolutely value added there. I don't think that we can rely on Silicon Valley and our neighbors to the south to provide us with the technology we need to get us caught up in this very rapidly changing geopolitical landscape that is more and more moving to things like drones and artificial intelligence and artificial intelligence powered drones. We have a caller that I want to go to very quickly. We just got a couple of minutes left on the topic of juries in this province. Bob, you're calling from Outlook. Do you have an opinion on whether juries should be allowed to speak publicly about their deliberations?
Yes, I think they should. We have a lack of trust in our public institutions such as courts and government. And to rebuild that trust, we've got a divided country right now. To rebuild that trust, we need more openness and transparency.
I couldn't agree more, Bob. And that is why I'm actually thinking more about this issue. It's the times we're living in. We have to rethink transparency in all of our institutions.
Agreed. I look at this foreign policy interference, and I say another case of secrets and hiding and not making our public institutions, such as government, open and transparent. Redacting documents, ridiculous.
Yes.
What is it secret that we can't know about it? What is it in a trial deliberation we can't know about? There are many ways to safeguard the jury, and it's an excuse. It's another opportunity for government to withhold secrets, which isn't right in democracies.
And our democracy will suffer for it. And Bob, you know that the leaders out in Iran and North Korea and Russia and China, they're all laughing. They love to hear us say we don't trust our most fundamental public institutions. All right. I thank you for your call, Bob. Coming up after the break, we are heading to Canada's Farm Show. Actually, Canada's Farm Show is coming to us with an in-studio interview with somebody from Canada's Farm Show. I'm Tamara Cherry in for Evan Bray on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.